Therybread would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging, for they hold the memories, tradition and culture of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the nation.
Although here at Therybread we're careful about content, we still may be discussing topics which could be upsetting or triggering. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, Brent.
Good day to you.
How's your week been?
It's been fab-o, thank you. Fab-o. Yours?
Pretty good, thank you.
Maybe I think for a change, you tell me what you've been reading and watching first.
Okay. So I've been reading Me by Elton John.
I thought you were writing your own autobiography then.
Nearly. That'll be my next project.
The one with the coloured glasses sort of on the colour one, yeah.
Yeah, you've got it, I know. So I don't quite know who I'm going to be handing that one over to when I've finished with it. But it's a good read. I've only just got up to the very early years.
And watching?
All I've watched is the part two of Laurel Canyon this week. But I'm listening to an ABC podcast. Aren't you impressed with me? Look at you.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's called All in the Mind, and it's all about brain function and consciousness and other things which do with the mind. It's actually really, really interesting. Not too heavy going.
A one-off, or there more than one?
No, there's episode after episode.
Yeah, and did that come up on your feed, spool, whatever you want to call it, or how did you find that?
No, I was actually searching for something else, and I thought, oh, that looks a bit interesting. And what grabbed my attention was an expert talking about animals conscious and discussing what is consciousness and are animals. And it was really interesting because apparently, according to these studies, an octopus isn't conscious, but an earthworm is. And they will explain that. I know you're frowning. They will explain that a lot better than I'll ever be able to. So I'd say listen to All in the Mind.
Well, look, for me, I've been watching, you mentioned animals, David Attenborough's Planet Earth 3.
Oh, wow. Some of the footage in that, I've just seen the shorts for it. Some of the footage in that must be incredible.
Pretty much covers the same sort of continents because they haven't really changed over the last 20, 30 years. Not much. Well, they've shifted a little bit, as they do. But they look at some of the animals that are almost extinct and some that have come back. But also at how man is still, you know, crucifying the planet. But I'm up to episode 7, which is humans. So I don't think I'm really going to come out with a good view of the humans after this one.
No, yeah. No. They often leave you with a bit of a down vibe, don't they? I think some of the footage is great. And I used to be very upset about the lion bringing down the impala, where now it's actually man bringing down Earth, which is a bit upsetting.
It really gets to you. It's just like thinking, oh, we're really killing this planet, and I don't know whether there's much hope. He thinks there's hope, so if David thinks there's hope, well, I'll go with hope.
Well, David Attenborough probably knows more than you and I put together about it. Yeah. He's probably a bit more of an expert, so I'll go along with him. Have you been reading anything as well?
Just letters to the editor, getting a bit of a laugh out of that one.
Okay. How's the presidential campaign going in America, Brendan?
Well, Donald Trump this week has come out and sort of backflipped on his...
Is he gay?
On his views on abortion. Where,
oh, God.
So
he
was the one that got rid of Roe versus Wade, where now he believes that it's up to the individual states. He's backflipped now and saying, I'll leave it up to the states. I'm not going to do anything about it. So you can't really believe anything that he says.
So is that just something that's come to you just now, that you can't believe anything he says? So it's just new for you?
No. So that's what's happening in the American politics, of
course. Oh, gosh.
That's what we've been listening and watching. So let's have a look at Laurel Canyon Part 2. So I think we pick up where Woodstock was happening.
They open with the marvellous archive footage and home movies of everyone in Laurel Canyon, and then the huge contrast with the 2 years being in the Vietnam War, the social upheaval. And while the lunar landing brought humanity together, Woodstock brought a generation together. So Joni Mitchell didn't attend, but she actually wrote the song Woodstock from the anecdotes.
Yeah, and which appeared on the Crosby, Stills and Nash album, I think it was Deja Vu. And her and Graham Nash were having a bit of a rocky relationship and they split up.
Not long after they broke up, Cass Elliot was the queen of the canyon. John and Michelle Phillips, who were all a little bit anti-establishment, moved away and became establishment with their three Rolls Royces. Two of them with three Rolls Royces is a little bit excessive, isn't it? And they actually mentioned something which really surprised me from such a prolific body of work, that the Mamas and the Papas were only together for 2.5 years. Graham Parsons entered and joined the Byrds. He was a friend of Keith Richards. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, because I watched the documentary.
I mean, prior to watching, did you know?
They're friends, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then they splintered off, not with Keith Richards. He didn't have anything to do with it. They splintered off and formed the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Yeah.
Tell me about them.
Well, Bernie Leadon was also in the Flying Burrito Brothers.
From the Eagles.
Who came, yeah, later on in the Eagles. You mentioned Graham Parsons. He was there as well. Graham Parsons, who later started his country career as George Jones.
Yes.
Yes, with his lovely rhinestone outfits.
Mm. Well, they weren't even rhinestone. They were like weirdly embroidered roses and stuff. It was almost like Budget Elvis.
Kmart Elvis.
Off-brand Elvis.
So the Flying Burrito Brothers, yes. So they had Bernie Leadon and also Glenn Frey.
Yes.
And Don Henley was asked to join them as well, but he was singing with Linda Ronstadt.
Now, he said, I'd rather wait around until you form the Eagles, thank you, and then I'll join.
He had a lot of success writing songs and playing with Linda Ronstadt, because she was really big at the time.
Huge.
Too. Linda Ronstadt's one of those singers that never wrote songs for herself. She always had songwriters or used other people's songs. So she were covers, really, basically.
Mm. Well, she was born to the beat of a different drum. Entering into this picture is Bobby Beausoleil.
Bobby Beausoleil, wasn't he involved in the Charles Manson thing, the murders?
Yes, and I will just take a moment out to remember those people who, both the first and the second night of those murders. And I'm going to do this, so please forgive if there's a break, because I've got to remember everybody. So there was Stephen Parent, Sharon Tate, Jay Sebring, Wojciech Frykowski, Abigail Folger, and Lino and Rosemary Labianca. That first night, all but the Labiancas were murdered, and they were murdered in Terry Melcher's home, Doris Day's son. Terry had moved out, and Roman Polanski, his wife, Sharon Tate, who was heavily pregnant at the time, 8.5 months pregnant at the time, had moved in. And apparently the killers, and I don't mention killers' names, but apparently the killers were ordered to go to Terry Melcher's house. So it looked like the name on that
bullet. They didn't know that Polanski and Sharon Tate were living
there? No. So it looked like the crime spree was meant for Terry Melcher and anybody else who lived there.
Yeah, because he subleased it out to Roman, didn't he?
And then, of course, we had this really was the end of the hippie era. We had Altamont after that with the Hells Angels security, and four people had died there. The Kent State riots, they were starting to protest the US invading Cambodia, and four people died. We really were starting to hear the death knell of the hippie era.
So the end of the 60s, really, that concert, which was just awful. Mm. And then we get into the second wave, and Bonnie Raitt was there, Glenn
That's
Frey,
right.
We've got Linda Ronstadt.
Well, Glenn Frey came in the most bizarrely named band called Long Branch Penny Whistle.
Yes.
And I'm like, they're pretty big drugs going on when you name that one. But he learned songwriting from Jackson Browne.
Yeah, and I think David Geffen, who was in the scene as well.
Yeah, he started Asylum Records then.
And said, Glenn, you shouldn't be in that band. You should break up and form another band. You can't be a solo. You're not good enough to be a solo. Or words to that effect. So,
but he listened, and David Geffen was very rarely wrong. We will watch a David Geffen documentary soon.
Yes, we mentioned on him there. He was in the band called Shiloh.
Yep, and he joined Linda Ronstadt's band, and Steve Martin was dating Linda Ronstadt. But when you look at it, Joni Mitchell was the girl du jour in the first wave of Laurel Canyon. There weren't a lot of females there. And, you know, there is somebody in your life who's always reminded me of Linda Ronstadt, and that's your sister.
Okay.
She had beautiful dark curly hair as well.
And then was the end of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. They were fighting all the time, and I think it was because of the introduction of cocaine, as they mentioned in the doco as well.
Mm. Apparently it got everyone colder, edgy, and less honest with each other.
Which they were before, obviously.
Well, you know what they do say, success breeds change, and that was the philosophy behind the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young breakup.
Yep. So Bring on the Eagles, I suppose, in the early days. Mm. And they were writing songs. Jackson Browne wrote this song and gave it to the Eagles, one of their biggest hits.
Asylum Records really pushed Take It Easy. Desperado by the Eagles was seen as a concept album, and it was an absolute flop, but Linda Ronstadt revived it.
Yep, she sang it, and it was a hit. Yes, absolutely. Mm. They liked their concept albums, the Eagles, didn't they?
Very much so, but they were really good at it too.
Yeah, yeah.
Previously, to this particular time, band members were all considered equal. Jim Morrison was the one who transcended the Doors, and then people decided that the lead singer was a little bit more equal than the others.
Yeah, and then Jim, of course, went to Paris, said, I'm going, I'm out of here. Out of here. And on the 27th of June in 71, he died.
Part of the 27 Club. Prior to his death, he became really belligerent with obscene language, indecent exposures. He cancelled tours. He was a very troubled artist. So first casualty of Laurel Canyon was Jim Morrison. Second casualty was Mama Cass. Now, she had a cardiac arrest. She didn't choke on a sandwich like everybody said
in
and
London.
Continues to say.
She was doing a tour in London.
In London, I think there'll never be another Laurel Canyon, Garden of Eden for artists. There's no place like that. The creative time of awakening is now over. And the documentary closes with Turn, 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 which is absolutely so appropriate because we come to the end of a time when Laurel Canyon peaked and changed lives. So, Brendan, what did you score it overall? What did you score it? Not just part one or part two. We've already scored part one, but overall as a documentary, what did you score it?
8 out of 10.
I gave it an 8 as well. There's lots of bits and pieces that I didn't know. Not that I know everything, but there were lots of new snippets of information. And it was also great to join that red string about where everybody came from.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
So is it time for What's My Line, Brendan?
All righty, let's look at some songs. I'm going to look at the first line. You're going to give me the first
Correct.
Line and maybe sing it.
And maybe sing it, but I'm going to need artist and name of song on these ones because they are different artists. Here's some that didn't make the cut because the first line is the title of the song. Trip, Stumble and Fall. Words of Love. So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. Monday, Monday. Baby, I'm Yours. 8 Miles High. Turn, Turn, Turn. Go Where You Want to Go. I Saw Her Again, Mr. Tambourine Man, Love Her Madly, Hello, I Love You, Riders on the Storm, and People Are Strange.
All right, that's it. Good night. See you later.
Yeah. So,
are there some others?
There are. All the Leaves Are Brown and the Sky Is Grey.
I wish I was in California today. California Dreaming.
Absolutely.
Mamas and the Papas, yeah.
Woo. You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
Wow.
Good Doors, yeah.
Good job, Brendan. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
That's too easy, isn't it?
For you, maybe.
Joni Mitchell.
And the name of the song?
Paved paradise, put up a parking lot. And the big laugh at the end, isn't there?
That's not the name of the song.
Big Yellow Taxi.
Great job. You're doing really well.
Okay, let's go for another one.
Saturday night I was downtown waiting for the FBI. If I gave you the name of the artists, would that help you?
Oh, it might.
The Hollies.
Long, cool woman in a red dress.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Why not? Really?
It's actually a black dress.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Sorry, but yes, well done. I'm going to give you that
long,
point.
Cool
you did really
woman.
Well. Yeah. Long, cool woman in a black dress.
Yeah. I was thinking of Christa Berg.
Yeah, Lady in Red.
That's it.
Okay. I don't think he was at Laurel Canyon, just quietly. Here we go. Last one. You're doing super well today. 4 out of 4 so far. This one, I'm not going to trip you up. This one's going to be easy for you. Feeling better now that we're through. Feeling better because I'm over you.
I was in love with her. I went to see her at the MCG when she was here and for the Simple Dreams tour.
Oh.
She was just, yeah, I was in love with her. Linda Ronstadt and You're No Good.
Well, you're pretty good, Brendan, because you just got 5 out of 5. Well, we all know that it's your favourite genre, or one of your favourite genres, so you getting 5 out of 5 probably from last week and this week. Let's keep it on a roll.
Alrighty.
And see what we do next week.
And may I send out greetings to Linda too. She hasn't been very well. She's not very well. Big kiss,
Linda. She's got a beautiful voice too. So we'll be back next week with 5 more What's My Lines for Brendan.
On Ferrybread, it's time to have a few taste sensations. I think, Dole, you've got a few different products today, and that sounds like it's a liquid, something we drink, and we try some new products and tell you what's that like.
So I'm going to hand this over My daughter found this in the supermarket and said, this would be great for what's that like. So don't put it to your nose because it'll give it away.
Did she find it in the rubbish bin at the supermarket?
And it's called sewer bap.
Ah, corn milk.
Corn milk.
I have an issue with this milk thing.
I think I do too.
Almond milk, or, you know, all those milk things.
How do you milk an almond?
I don't know. That's what I have the issue with.
No, this is corn milk.
All right, so
it smells like corn.
It smells like sweet corn soup.
Oh, it does a bit.
Chicken and sweet corn soup. Okay,
go.
We're going to try it now. It's just like, it is just like cold sweet corn and chicken soup without the chicken, I think.
Oh, but it's sweet.
It's sweet corn.
No, it's sweeter than sweet corn.
Has it got sugar in it? Can you read the...
Oh, my God, it's probably got condensed milk in it. That's how sweet this is.
You know, it's pretty gross, like it is.
It's revolting.
But you could use this, heat this up gently, put some chicken in it, and I put an egg, and you could have chicken and sweet corn soup.
All right, well, it's all yours. You can keep the can.
That's the only reason I'm giving it two, because it does have another use, I think.
I'm giving it a one.
Drink it cold.
I'm giving it a one.
Okay.
It's as bad as I thought it would be.
What's that like?
One. Okay, here's another one.
One is the loneliest number.
It is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. So now let's follow that up with another taste sensation. Not long ago, we did Mayhem kebab-flavoured Doritos.
Oh, they
were a hit, weren't they?
The street art ones, whatever they were.
Correct.
Yeah.
This is another street art collection Doritos, and it's got that Hello, My Name Is badge on it, and I'm going to get you to read out the flavour.
Da-da-da-da. Hello, my name is the Kingpin Burger.
So these are Doritos that are burger-flavoured. We're actually eating these together for the first time. Tell me what you think.
Look, not so bad. Corn chip.
These are better than Mayhem kebab.
They are better than the kebab ones, yeah. Yeah, these aren't too bad. They've got that, is it the vinegar taste or like a soury? But they're much better than the kebabs. I don't mind those. Probably 6 out of 10 for those.
I'm giving them a 5, but yeah, they're not great. I probably wouldn't do it again. I think the flavour that you're tasting is pickle.
Ah, yes. Very good.
I think it's a pickle
McDonald's
in the burger.
McDonald's pickles.
It's Kingpin Burger Pickles. Lovely accompaniment with the corn
milk.
With
the sewer bap.
Sewer bap corn milk.
Yeah, I'm throwing that out.
Yeah, I'm throwing them both out. But you might want the Kingpin Burger corn chips.
Yeah, we'll keep them around, I think.
Yeah, I don't want them. All right, well, that's that. So, what's that like? Pretty disgusting.
Yeah, look, you know, we'll find something better next week.
Will we? That'll be interesting. Hey, Bren, you know when you see something that's not quite right?
Yes.
What do you say?
I say NQR. What do you say?
Call my lawyer.
So what's the case today for the Fairy Bread Courtroom?
Your Honour, I put to you a brand new biscuit that is in the supermarkets at the moment.
Right, yes, okay.
It's a bounty inspired biscuit.
Oh, the chocolate bar with the coconut.
With the coconut inside it. And you know, you and I and coconut.
I do like those. Yeah.
So it's got a picture, as you can see, and I'll hold up for the jury. There's a chocolate biscuit, and then there's a chocolate biscuit sitting on the top of it, which has had a bite taken out of it. So you can see that there is coconut in the centre.
Yeah, you can see the inside. Well, it's white, yes. It looks like you would think it would probably be coconut, like a bounty is.
And you can see there's a cut coconut as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And bounty is a coconut and chocolate bar. So you kind of go, okay, chocolate, coconut, biscuit.
Yes, okay.
Makes sense.
It does. So what's the problem there?
The biscuit is called Bounty Secret Centre Biscuits.
Oh, secret centre. How can it be a secret? You can see the picture of it, you know, the coconut picture.
And by the time I've bitten into it, if there is some secret, I will have told everybody. This is not the crying game where you're supposed to actually sign a contract that you keep the secret for everybody. So secret centre, when you're showing me a cut coconut and you're also showing me the actual centre of the biscuit, don't know that it's a secret,
no,
guys.
No, not a secret at all. No, that's not right.
Call my lawyer. Now, before we go, Brendan.
Yes, Doll.
Somebody asked me this week, how come you call me Doll? Is it after Dolly Parton? I said, I bloody wish, but it isn't.
It goes back to when we first met decades ago, doesn't it? Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
You're gorgeous like a doll.
Oh, you're beautiful. Thank you for saying that. I couldn't remember the origins of it, but I did have a couple of boyfriends at the time. And they would call me Doll too, and they didn't start it. You and your then partner started the Doll okay. thing.
Yeah.
So I don't remember, but it wasn't – I know it wasn't after Dolly Parton.
Okay, yeah, but okay.
Just happened.
It just happened. What do they call that? It's organic.
Organic.
So what are we going to watch next week, do you think?
What would you like to stream?
Okay. So I think we'll have a look at Donna Summer, Love to Love You.
Oh, that's a good one. Is that on Binge, I think?
It is on Binge. You yep. can stream that now on Binge. We'll have a look at that and tell you what we thought about it next week. Now, if you like what you hear, follow Fairy Bread, rate us 5 stars, of course, and we'd love you to write a review, and you can email us to it, fairybreadpod@gmail.com, with any comments or suggestions you may have.
And you can share this episode. It's easy. On the Apple Podcast app, click the 3 dots drop-down menu, and you'll see an option to share to your socials or to a friend. So until next time on Fairy Bread, play nice.
Wherever you play. Oh, before you go, I've got a joke for you.
Okay, I'm worried.
Maybe a little bit worried. So, look, maybe it's a bit blue, so if you don't like blue jokes, maybe turn off now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See ya.
See ya. Hey, you know Darth Vader? He's got a...
From Star Wars.
He made an adult movie.
Okay, I'm out already. Mm. Good.
May the foreskin be with you.